Okay, the audio is working. And let's see if the video is going to work. And the video is working. It's always too high, of course. Okay, well, Shabbat Shalom on a beautiful day. We're one of Messiah congregation, Kahal HaBe Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God. And Shabbat Shalom from Tennessee. Thank God we could be here today, even though we got like, I think in Franklin, we got a little over 4 inches. In Nashville, I read, we got over 8 inches. And snow, it's been snowing here in 2016. And this is so unusual for us. They're saying in Franklin, people bought more sleds than salt. And it's a funny thing. But anyway, we're here on the Sabbath of God, and may God bless you on the Sabbath. Let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this study. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, Creator of all things, we thank and praise you we could be here today on your holy day, your Sabbath. I pray you'll send down, first we always ask you to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot, anything we got wrong, correct it, Father. Teach us, take away anything that's inaccurate, fill us only with the truth. I pray you'll touch and heal everyone that's sick and afflicted in the body of Messiah. May God touch our sister Louise and anyone that's sick in the body. May God rebuke the devil away from us in the power of your blood, Yeshua. Protect us from any evil. Lead us not into temptation. Let us not go into temptations, but deliver us, Lord and God. And we just thank and praise you. We could be here today on your Sabbath in 2016. And may God bless every one of you and teach you something new if you don't know it. And may God take away anything that's inaccurate out of your hearts, minds, and souls. And may God give you a craving for his word and for studies. And may God give you a love that just surpasses all understanding for the living God. And may God bless you today. And may God, the Spirit of God, be with you. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Shabbat Shalom. Today is 2016. It's January the 23rd already. This month is about gone. January is gone, and I'm happy about that. Of course, it's Janus, the Roman god of gates and doorways. Mm-hmm. However, we bring into focus God's calendar. We're in the, 11th month of God, the 12th day of Shavat. And that's Shavat, yes. And that's Zechariah 1:7. Praise the Lord. No, a lot of people, most people don't even know God has his own calendar that's been deleted, you know? And that's the reason why I think my ministry is available today. It's a teaching ministry. I like bringing up subjects and topics that have never been discussed in your life or been brought into focus in your life. Most people don't even know things are missing. Mm-hmm. And I like to undelete some for you. You know, our congregation takes for granted all the things we know. But the average person that we meet has no knowledge of God's calendar. God's fourth commandment has been erased. And many other things. For your convenience, my website is working very good. Praise the Lord. You could read my studies. You could watch them. You could read them. You could hear them. You could download them on your MP3 players. And it's going really good. We were planning to be at our congregation this week, but we got snowed out here. We're in a subdivision, and they don't really clean the streets here like they do in the big cities. So we're stuck with 4 or 5 inches of snow, and it's turning into ice now. So it's an ice skating ring. So Lord willing, in the next week, we'll be able to get out of here. And we'll be at our congregation, new building. We're going to stream next week, I hope, Lord willing. I'd like to always come and do the more personal thing. If you ever need someone... me to come and go over some of the Hebrew roots from the scriptures, I'm available. There's a link on my website. Our new address is 27 South Maple Street, Hohenwald, Tennessee. And Hohenwald is a German word which means high forest, and it really is. And if you have any questions, you can always call us. So I'm going to say again, maybe next week, Lord willing, we'll be there. I always say Lord willing. You know, my studies come from obviously communicating with different people and different events in our life. And I like to go over one sacrifice for sins forever. There are a group of people running around thinking that we're going to be doing sacrifices again. which is an abomination to God, if you even imagine such a thing. And they think there's going to be a third temple that you're going to go to and do sacrifices, which is all imaginary. No more daily sacrifice needed, nor sacrifices for sin. We don't need to do a daily sacrifice or sacrifices for sin, according to the letters written by, we believe, Apostle Paul, Shaul. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27, he says, Apostle Paul says, who need it not daily, Messiah doesn't need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this Messiah did once, when he offered up himself. So he's not coming back to die for you again, or die for anyone again. Hebrews goes on to say, neither by the blood of bulls and blood of calves and goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So that shows right there, there's no more sacrifices for sin. Because it says, for then must he, Messiah, often have suffered since the foundation of the world. He's not going to come and die all the time for you. But now once in the end of the world had he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And this is really important if you believe in the doctrine of Messiah. The doctrine of Messiah is recorded in the Tanakh, and there's a record there, which maybe next week I'll go over all that with you. So Messiah was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time for them, the people, without sin unto salvation. In other words, he will save the people on earth at the time of his coming who knew him, the Messiah, and are keeping his commandments. In other words, when the Messiah comes back, those that are keeping his commandments and knew the Messiah, because of the record that's given in Tanakh and that are waiting for him, they'll obtain salvation just like whoever goes before them. He says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua, the Messiah, once for all. So it's once for all. And every high priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away the sins forever. But this man, Yeshua, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. Amen. And I don't understand why people don't read all these things and understand this. You know, I come to the understanding that most people don't read the Bible. They just copy websites and go listen to people that are not of God. Romans 6:10 says, for in that he died unto sin once. And he tells the Corinthians, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. For even Messiah, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And that's what Passover is all about. Paul writes to the Ephesians, Shaul writes to the Ephesians, and he says, walk in love, as Messiah also had loved us, and had given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Amen. So here we have the Messiah, and it's recorded in every letter and every gospel, and even in the Tanakh, in Isaiah 53, that he was going to be an offering for sin. I don't know why people don't read Isaiah 53. Paul writes to the Philippians, and he says, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So now you must understand that all the sacrifices we give are spiritual. They're not physical sacrifices. And there's no Levitical priest no longer, but we're priests and kings unto God. Hebrews 13:16 says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well-pleased. And that's why we communicate and we have long suffering with the brothers and sisters, and we try to go over these things constantly and over and over and over. Brother Peter tells us, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So again, this spiritual house, spiritual temple in the Lord, a holy priesthood, we offer up spiritual sacrifices, the praising and thanking God. Paul tells the Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service. So these are all important. Most people don't even understand that the Levites are a shadow of Messiah's priesthood. The Levitical priesthood and the animal sacrifices all pointed to the coming of the Messiah. It was our schoolmaster that brought us right unto Messiah, who died for our sins. In Exodus we read, chapter 40, it says, And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, and that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons, and clothe them with coats, and thou shalt anoint them, as thou did anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. This is talking about Messiah. Numbers 25. Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, had turned my wrath away from the children of Israel when he was zealous for my sake among them, and I consumed them not in my jealousy. Wherefore say, Behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. And we do the same thing spiritually by trying to correct people with their false doctrines and things that are leading them astray. And we try to help them, which is really important.
They want help.
There's a new priesthood and other priesthoods we'll talk about briefly. You know, the shadow of Messiah, most people don't even recognize Melchizedek, or as they say in English, Melchizedek, is also a king and a priest, which is just a shadow of the Messiah. And we go back to this letter to the Hebrews, which is just packed full of information, you know. Hebrews 7 says, For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, he's the king, hear that, king of Salem, and he's the priest of the Most High God, which is a shadow of Messiah, because he's king and priest, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth of all. First being by interpretation, he's the king of righteousness, which is shadow of Messiah, and after that, king of Salem, which is a king of peace, king of Shalom. And tell me if this is not Messiah, a shadow of Messiah. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, mm-hmm. abided a priest continually.
That's the word of God.
Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. You know, if you read the letter to the Hebrews slowly, you'll get a lot of information out of it. It says, And verily that they that are of the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, had a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the Torah, that is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but here he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Excuse me. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Could you read this for a second right here? I have to step away. Come over here to reach verse.
I can't do that. Just have some water. Just have some water.
I think the dryness of the house is getting me.
Just drink some water.
For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Excuse me. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the Torah. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Of course not. And it's far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is Messiah, who is made not after the Lord of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifies, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And Paul is quoting Psalms, chapter 110, verse 4. Jehovah swore and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And go back to the letter to the Hebrews. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law, we're talking about the Levitical priesthood, made nothing perfect, but bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And insomuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, Jehovah swore. That's the oath that's in Psalms. Mm-hmm. I will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Yeshua made a surety of a better testament. Amen. And they truly were made priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continued ever, had an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Amen. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Amen. So we have an intercessor right now. You can never say you're so bad you can't repent.
You have to have an intercessor.
The first time I'm talking about, because he's able to save them to the uttermost. For such a high priest became he for us, who's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who need it not daily, as those high priests offer up sacrifice. See, there's no more daily sacrifice. First for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law of the Levitical priesthood makes men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which is in Psalms, which was since the Torah, makes the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. So we are priests, Yeshua is the high priest, we offer up spiritual sacrifices. Remember that. Peter says again, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Yeshua the Messiah. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar, that's segula in Hebrew, a jewel, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Hosea says, take with you words and turn to Yehovah. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So we render the calves of our lips. Calves are meant to be here as spiritual sacrifices. Because, again, go back to the letter to the Hebrews. By Messiah, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Amen. In the book of Revelation, we read, God again has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelation again. And had made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth, the new earth. Revelation 20. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power, but they should be priests of God and of Messiah, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Amen. So we are the temple of God now. We're not really looking for another temple, but I'll explain all these temples to you right now. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, "Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any person defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye are of God, and you're not your own?" So we don't want to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion had light with darkness? What concord had Messiah with Belial? Or what part had he that believes with an infidel? That's why I can't understand people going to see infidels on the Sabbath, even though they might be charming and nice. What agreement had the temple of God with idols? It says, "For you are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they should be my people." And he says, "Come out from among them." He doesn't say go join them and huddle up with them and fellowship with them. "Come out from among them. Be separate, saith Yehovah. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith El Shaddai, Lord Almighty." Very important. So everything we have now, all the physical, we have now the spiritual. We have a habitation of God through the Spirit. I'm going to read the letter to the Ephesians chapter 2. "And you had he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, which is the devil, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also you had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That's a pretty horrible thing. If you think about it, we were children of wrath. "But God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Messiah. For by grace you are saved. And had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Yeshua the Messiah. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves."
Faith in his blood.
Faith in his blood, right. Not of yourselves. Nothing you can do to get saved. It's through the blood of the Messiah, the atonement. It's the gift of God.
The sacrifice.
Amen. "Not of works, not of your works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that you being in time past of the nations, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, at that time you were without Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Messiah Yeshua, you are ye who sometimes were far off and made nigh by the blood of Messiah. He is our shalom, who had made both one, Jew and Gentile, and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God, Jew and Gentile, in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you who are far off and to them that are nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Amen.
Through him.
Yeah. "Now therefore you're supposed to be no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yeshua the Messiah, himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in Jehovah. And that's what it's all about. It's a spiritual temple. In whom all ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So we don't need any more physical temples. That was a shadow of us being the temple and a holy temple being built by Messiah. Spiritual house, temple, Messiah, king, priest. He's on the throne right now as the king. And you can go to my website right there, oneofmessiah.net, melchizedek.htm. Again, a spiritual place for the Father. It's not. Some people are actually waiting for a physical third temple. They think Jesus, Messiah, is going to come back and get a hammer and start building a temple. John says, in the Gospel of John, this woman at the well said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say, Yeshua says, that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Yeshua said unto a woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation's of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Amen. So it's not a physical place you have to be in. Mm-hmm. People misinterpret this verse, but this is talking about the spiritual temple. Zechariah 6:12. Speak unto him, saying, thus saith Jehovah of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of Jehovah. And he is right now. Mm-hmm. Even he shall build the temple of Jehovah, and he shall bear the glory, and he shall sit and rule upon his throne, which he is right now. That's right. And he shall be a priest. He's a king and a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. So this is talking about Messiah. He is the branch. Right. You know, the temple, there's a temple of our God is in heaven. The temple of our God is in heaven. There is a temple there. In Exodus, we read that it says, let them make me, God says, a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. So there's a whole temple in heaven where God dwells. Psalm 11 says, Jehovah is in this holy temple. Jehovah's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. So God's throne and temple is in heaven. You can even go from Exodus to Psalms, even to Revelation. And it says, the temple of God was open in heaven. And there was seen in the temple the ark of his testament. And there was lightnings, voices, thunderings, and earthquake, and great hail. Mm-hmm. Now, we go from heaven down to the earth. You know, the first temple was built by Solomon. And you can read that in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 5. It says, and behold, I purpose to build a house unto the name of Jehovah my God, as Jehovah spoke unto David my father, saying, thy son, whom I shall, that will sit upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name. So there we see Solomon was commissioned by God to build it. First temple. And you can read about the second temple, Zerubbabel, and Ezra and Nehemiah, in Zechariah. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands also shall finish it. And thou shalt know that Jehovah of hosts hath sent me unto you. And you can read about Ezra and Nehemiah and Zerubbabel, how they rebuilt the temple. You could say the second temple or rebuilt temple. And then you can read Exodus 40, which a lot of people think it's the last days, but it's not. It's actually the pattern that they were to build, okay? Because remember, second temple. Remember, Ezekiel was in the captivity, so he's talking about the second temple that they were going to build at the end of that. Now, there is a third temple that will be built in someone's future. I don't know whose, but it's going to be a different kind of temple. Because if we go to the letter to the Thessalonians, which actually comes from Daniel and other places, that the day of the Lord is not coming until you see a total apostasy. Don't let anyone trick you. And you see the man of sin being revealed, the son of perdition. Okay? Mm-hmm. And the way you're going to know who he is, he's going to be, he's going to sit as God in the temple of God. He's going to exalt himself above all that's called God or that is worshipped. So that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. So that someone's going to, they're going to build a third temple, which I know right now, as you and I are alive, in Israel, they're dying to build the third temple. But it has nothing to do with believers of Yeshua, the Messiah. It's Lubavitch. It's Judaism. And they're going to try to install the Levitical priesthood. Levitical priesthood again, which is totally ridiculous. Because I just read to you that we don't, that's no longer needed. It was a shadow of everything else that was to come. And as they groom their Messiah from the Sanhedrin that was created a number of years ago, down the road in someone's life, they'll actually, unfortunately, put this anti-Mashiach on the throne. And of course, that's written a lot about in the letters that John wrote, too. So this third temple, as you can see, has nothing to do with us. And you can even go to Revelation, where it talks about this third temple. John was told to, this angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple and the altar and them that worship therein. So all these people that are going to be worshiping, I don't know how, but they're going to be in this third temple. He said, but the court which is without the temple, leave out, measure it not. It's given unto the nations, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And all these people that do eschatology, you know, about the blow-by-blow events of the end of the world, they never talk about the two witnesses, the two prophets. He says, I'll give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth, which is around 3.5 years. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth, which is recorded in Zechariah chapter 4. Mm-hmm. If any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. If any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. And these two prophets are going to have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over water to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Mm-hmm. When they have finished their testimony, this is all in the end, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, I guess he was thrown into this bottomless pit, he's going to make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead body shall lie in the street of the great city, which unfortunately is known as spiritually as Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. That's Jerusalem. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, most likely on telecommunications, on TV, or some other means in the future, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. They that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them, make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. That's pretty horrible. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven, saying unto them, come up hither. And they descended up into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake was slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. Amen. Oh, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe comes quickly. And the seven angels sounded, and there was a great voice. There was great voices in heaven, saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Messiah, and He shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell on their faces, and they worshiped God, saying, "We give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come." This is the Messiah. because he was and was not. Because thou hast given to thee thy great power and hast reigned, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, mm-hmm. and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them that destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there was lightnings, voices, thunderings, and an earthquake and great hail. And then we see this is the very end, when John the Revelator, or John on the Isle of Patmos, I should say, he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And this is recorded in the book of Isaiah, the new heavens and the new earth. I think it's chapter 66, I believe. And John said, in the New Jerusalem, he saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So there's many different types of temples. Praise the Lord. A temple in the Lord. You know, we can't be with God on our own merit or deeds. We do. This has nothing to do with the God's commandments. You know, in the book of Isaiah, it says, But we are all an unclean thing, and all our righteousness as filthy rags. In other words, by our own merit and things that we think are holy and things that we do, we can't merit salvation. It's only through the gift of God, the sacrifice, the blood of the Messiah that's applied to you that brings any kind of holiness or righteousness. It says, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like wind take us away. Paul tells Titus, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Having said that, and everything I just said, we conclude Messiah is the Son, the Word of God, made flesh, and without him, his atonement, his blood, you're simply lost. And, you know, some people told me last week, oh, you sound like you're judging people. Well, you can't just believe in Jesus and not recognizing his credentials and who he is and what he did. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, John's very bold, and I wish he was around today, because some people need to hear the same message. It says, whoever denies the Son, the same has not the Father. So if you don't have the Son or the Father, what do you have? No matter how smart you are, no matter how many PhDs you got, or THDs, or whatever. But he that acknowledgeth the Son, the Word, had the Father also. Who's a liar? But he that denies Yeshua is the Messiah. If you deny Yeshua is the Messiah, and that he came in the flesh of Israel, you're an antichrist. If you deny the Father and the Son.
That denies the Father and the Son.
Every spirit that confesseth not that Yeshua the Messiah has come in the flesh of Israel is not of God. So, and this is that spirit of antichrist whereof you have heard that it should come. Even now, I know it's already in the world, even today. All men that honor the Son, they should honor the Father.
As they honor the Father.
He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which had sent him. So a lot of people that don't believe Yeshua is the Messiah, the foretold Messiah through the Tanakh, hundreds of prophecies. I mean, they're there for anyone that has spiritual eyes to see. Remember, Apostle Paul says, first comes the physical, and then comes the spiritual. You have to understand, everything that you read physically, there's a spiritual understanding to it.
Because the letter kills.
The letter kills. The spirit gives life. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Yeshua is the, is the Messiah and that he's come in the flesh of Israel. They are deceivers and they're Antichrist. No matter how nice they are and how much they smile and how charming they are. Try to remember that. I know it's tricky and I know it's it could deceive you. So be careful. John says, whosoever believes that Yeshua is the Messiah is born of God. So if you don't believe Yeshua is born is the Messiah, and born, you're not born of God. Everyone that loves him that begot, the Father, that is, loves him also that is begotten of him, which is his Son, the Word of God. And this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And this is the love, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is, of course, greater. For this is the witness of God, which he had testified of his word, his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God, the Word of God, had the witness in himself. He that believeth not God, you're making him a liar, because you believe not the record that God gave of his Son, his Word, that's written in the Tanakh. And this is the record that God had given to us eternal life, and the life is in his Son that you're rejecting. He that had the Son had life. He that has not the Son of God, the Word of God, has not life. These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, and that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen. You know, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Yeshua the Messiah has come in the flesh. That's a deceiver and antichrist. Look to yourselves that you lose not those things which we have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Messiah has not God. Mm-hmm. And what is the doctrine of the Messiah? Well, it's pretty simple. It's the record that God gave through the Tanakh, that he would be the propitiation for our sins, he'd be the sin atonement, he'd be the sacrifice, and that he'd be coming, and he did come, because we have a record of everything. Now, listen to this. He that abides in the doctrine of Messiah, he had both the Father and the Son. So you got to have the doctrine of Messiah. If there come unto you, or if you go unto any, and they bring not this doctrine, you're not even supposed to receive those people into your house. Mm-hmm. That means you're not supposed to go see them either. And you're not supposed to bid them Godspeed. For if you bid them Godspeed, you're partaker of their evil deeds. You're letting them slide. You're guilty. So if you go see people that don't believe Yeshua is the Messiah, the Word of God made flesh, or God in the flesh, and you bid them Godspeed, you're partaker of their evil deeds.
Call me brother.
You know, simply put, Paul puts it, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That might be a great mystery to you. God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the nations, believed on in the world, and he was received up into glory, and he's coming back one day. And we were reading this morning, my wife and I, some people are going to be crying out to the mountains, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, or from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his judgment is come, and who shall be able to stand? And they're going to cry out for the mountains, rocks to cover us, cover them, I should say. That's Messiah coming back. He's not coming back as a man. He's coming back as God Almighty. And he is building a spiritual house right now, a holy temple in Jehovah. And we got to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And I hope this message resonates with all of you, and I'm sorry for me choking a little earlier. I got a little dry, but I hope, you know, the devil tries to stop everything, but I persist, and I rebuke Satan in the blood of Messiah, and I got through the study. But this is such an important thing about all the temples: temple in heaven, the first temple, the second temple, or the rebuilt temple, mm-hmm. The third temple where the anti-Mashiach is going to be, and the spiritual house, the spiritual temple that we're in, and we're temples of the living God. So you have to understand all the way the verses are all put through Scripture and rightly divide the Word of God, which is really important. A lot of people misinterpret, like I said earlier, Ezekiel, and they misinterpret Zechariah. I even think Zechariah 14 is talking about the Second Temple. And I don't believe it's in the last days. You know, God came a lot of times with all his saints, and he comes all the time, and he just as he did in the day of battle. And I know that scripture where it says he's going to put his foot upon the Mount of Olives, and the word in Hebrew is regel or riglaim, which could also mean foot soldiers. So
it's not going to be a big foot.
It's not going to be, you know, whatever some people think it is, but I believe his army is going to be there and his people. And you can read that in Revelation also. But if we rightly divide the word of truth, you could see it's more a clearer story, and it's not jumbled and confusion as some people put it. But I thank God we could be here today, and I don't know how long the study has been.
Not even an hour,
and I know a lot of people always think, "Wow, did you went too fast or you went too short?" Or
it's very good.
But always remember, don't discard your brothers and sisters that keep the commandments and that believe in Yeshua as the Messiah, the Word of God made flesh, and put people that don't believe that above them. Some people do that. I mean, some people do that to us.
All the time.
Some people call us names, and they hold people that don't even believe Yeshua is the Messiah, the Word of God made flesh, or God in the flesh, the atonement for our soul. They hold them in higher esteem than their brothers and sisters.
Absolutely.
And, you know, a lot of people just don't read the scriptures, I'm convinced. You know, if you just read this study nice and slow, I'm sure you'd get a lot out of it. And matter of fact, my last three studies, it's all about, you know, people I've been meeting. And if you could put them all together, you could have a pretty good story there of scripture and accurate as can be. So, what can I tell you? I hope you got a lot out of this study today. It's very important. Maybe you should read it again, a little slower, you know, at your speed. Maybe I went too quick. But
you're missing some stuff in the study online, Adam.
And there's other things that I'm going to put in my study that's online that are maybe not in this study right here. So remember, just to sum everything up, don't fall for anyone that says, first of all, there's going to be a third temple, and we're all going to be in there worshiping God and offering blood sacrifices. That's false.
I won't be there.
And I'd say one more time to you, Lubavitch Judaism is running the show in Jerusalem, because we were there, my wife and I went to Jerusalem 5 times at least, and all we see is the Lubavitch Judaism running the show. There's no messianics there running the show.
And they're telling you not to keep the commandments anyway.
All I could tell you is the whole thing is very scary, because I see even Christians thinking there's going to be a millennial reign and a third temple and all this type of thing. You know, a lot of people misconstrue that verse in Revelation where it talks about they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but they don't read that it was martyrs. It isn't everyone, you know. And they're also going to be kings and priests unto God, these martyrs. But it never says it's on earth, and it never says where that's happening. John is having a vision. So there's so many verses that people just add to the word, and they diminish from the word, and they don't read explicitly the context of the paragraph. And that's really important. And I know a lot of the Bible has been put into chapters, but sometimes it goes on. You shouldn't just end there.
Right.
So the chapters made a few errors there by separating different concepts and different thoughts. That's another problem. But anyway, I hope you got a lot out of this study today. Don't fall for we need sacrifices and blood sacrifices. Yeshua is one sacrifice forever.
Mm-hmm.
And may God be with you, and I hope that you got something out of this study today. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the blood of the Messiah and for the atonement for our soul once forever. And we don't sin presumptuously. But I thank God we could be here today. And thank God we could make straight the way of the Lord. May God bless you. And may God comfort you. And may God give you a hunger to connect all the scriptures. Because the Bible dovetails back and forth. And you need to put it all together. And we don't never read one verse and think that's it. But we put all the verses together. And all the verses have to agree. We don't discount any verses because we don't understand them. Heavenly Father, give us understanding more and more. Give us more reasoning, more discernment. We need more wisdom, more knowledge, more fear, more faith. I just thank God today for the blood of Yeshua. I thank God today for everything you've given us and give us more, Father. And we can't wait to be in our new building you gave us and bring people to us, Father. We'll try to help them with everything you've given us. And we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the thanksgiving. In Yeshua's name, Father. And may God bless everyone. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And may God be with you. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Shabbat Shalom. Stop the recording. Stop.